Hi guys, this is Sarah from Beyond the Wall. I am interviewing RDAP Dan today. Dan, if you would just introduce yourself, please.
Sure. My name is Daniel Wise, and I go by RDAP Dan. That's RDAP Dan. Due to a YouTube channel we have helping people prepare for federal prison.
And Dan, if you don't mind, could you please just tell everybody how you came about?
Sure. So my story started back in 2011 when I was federally indicted for my role working at a doctor's office where the doctor was over-prescribing pain medication to the clients. And once the feds caught wind of it, they ultimately came in and basically they busted everybody that worked there, charged us all with a 52-count indictment for conspiracy to distribute oxycodone without a legitimate purpose. And I ended up taking a plea of 60 months was the plea that I took. The judge ended up sentencing me to 42 months. And if I had gone to trial, I would have been facing anywhere from 15 to 20 years.
Oh, wow. Dan, was this your was this your first brush with the law?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Other than, you know, speeding tickets, things like that.
Oh, of course. Of course. So let me ask you, so what was that like going to federal prison?
You know, it wasn't like what I thought it was going to be. Prior to going, I was in fear of everything that I had seen from things that you see on TV.
Uh-huh.
People that are going through getting raped and beat up and gangs and violence. That's kind of what I initially imagined it being like, which created quite a bit of fear.
Wow.
However, where I went was a low security federal prison in Central Florida, and it was nothing like what I had seen on TV. It was, there was a half mile track, there was flat screen TVs everywhere, there was no violence, there was no politics. White people, black people could sit at the same table. The only people that had real issues there were sex offenders, and even they didn't have too severe of issues. They just couldn't sit at certain areas, but aside from that, it was not bad of an experience. There was classes to take. There was lots of working out. There was a lot of mental growth. And that's where I was able to take the class RDAP, the Residential Drug Addiction Program.
Oh, so that's what that stands for, RDAP. Okay. I was trying to figure out. All right. So that, okay. So it wasn't necessarily a bad experience for you.
Not at all, no.
Good. And that is how you came about, I believe, could you explain just how that video, your initial video, could you explain about that?
So the initial video took place like 3 days before I left. I was kind of freaking out, thinking about getting ready to go, not knowing what to expect. And I went on YouTube, just posting a video about my own fears, what I was getting ready to, just basically letting people know I'm getting ready to go to federal prison, don't know what to expect. And when I got out of federal prison, there was so many comments on that one video, and most of the comments were from people that were getting ready to go into the system for their first time, and they all had a lot of the same fears and concerns that I had. So I started making response videos to the questions that people had, and before I knew it, it just kind of took off.
Wow. And so how long have you been doing this?
So I was released from federal prison October 2015. I started making videos response to the comments that I found probably December, January of the end of 15 going into 2016. And it pretty much started right away. The channel started growing, it started getting traction almost immediately. It didn't really turn into a business until the end of 2016, early 2017 was when I decided to do this full time, just because I didn't have time to run a regular job and focus on this.
And because people have a tendency to think that when they go, and this was federal prisons, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. People have a tendency to think that once you're in federal, you know, the federal penitentiary, that you're kind of just like stuck there. And I was watching some of your videos and stuff. You know, I was very intrigued. And you're actually able to help them cut some of their time and get them into halfway houses and stuff like that. Could you just explain how your program works, please?
Sure. So people come through our YouTube channel that are getting ready to go into the prison system for the first time. A lot of their questions are, you know, what can we do to reduce our sentence? What can we do to receive additional halfway house time? We do a lot of work with personal narratives, character reference letters. These are the letters that you're going to be writing to the judge. So personal narrative is going to be your letter that you're writing directly to the judge, and character reference letters are going to be the letters your friends and family write to the judge. And the problem is most letters that you'll see somebody write are not fully taking, they think they're taking accountability, but really they're trying to find a soft spot in the judge's heart. They're talking about how hard this is going to be for their kids, how hard this is going to be for their wife, how hard this is going to be for their husband, how those are the real victims, and they're the ones that are being punished, and it's not fair, and please give me a second chance, and I'm sorry. Wow. And that's 99% of most letters that you'll see written from people.
Wow.
So we go in and we give clients a template or like a draft of another client's letter that had good success. As long as the client gives us approval, we'll use their letters as samples to give somebody an idea of what they should be writing about, to give them direction so they don't spin their wheels going the wrong way. Once they write their draft, they send it to us, and we have a lady on our team by the name of Jenny Good, who's a content proofreader and editor. She will take the letter and go in and make edits and recommendations to it, keeping the same story that the client told, but just writing it in more of a streamlined fashion that tends to have a much better impact with the sentencing judge.
Wow. That is actually really smart, because you're right. I've been to, you know, quite a few trials and stuff, and that's, you know, they apologize, you know, for their actions and stuff. And then they want leniency because, you know, they've got children, you know, that they need to get back to and stuff like that. So you're absolutely right. I was just like, wow. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, that's good. What else? And so what about the, so a person that is currently incarcerated that didn't go through your program, is there any way that you could help them that's already, you know, in the system?
In some situations, yes, sometimes. So once you're either found guilty or once you take your plea, you have what's called a PSR interview where you meet with U.S. probation, where they conduct what's called a pre-sentence report.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that pre-sentence report is going over your substance abuse, asking, you know, last time you used, how frequently you used. It's basically a full background of your substance abuse. And sometimes people are not completely forthcoming because they think if they're honest during that point in time that it can somehow hurt them or the judge is going to give them additional time. And many times it's at the request of the attorney that the client does not disclose that. So it's not until once they arrive in prison in some situations that they find out that they do not qualify for a program, that they may need help with their substance abuse because they didn't disclose it in their PSR due to fear of getting additional time. They'll reach out to us, and based on what type of crime they had, how much time they have left remaining on their sentence, we can have a chemical dependency professional assess them based on facts, based on use that they did actually have, and draft up an assessment that's sent in from a professional that would go to the RDAP coordinator of that prison to try to gain them entry into the substance abuse program. That's not only going to reduce their sentence, but will give them the tools to return home without the possibility of, or less likelihood of, falling back to old ways.
So what do you do in terms of, or do you do anything in terms of the families and stuff of the people that are incarcerated? What are you doing with them?
So we have a family coaching program that Jenny Good also, she's our content writer. She's also a licensed life coach. and she's been life coaching for many years. She specifically focuses on, outside of helping me with this, she focuses on coaching women.
No! Hi, this is Sarah Coleman. I'm back with Dan. I apologize. The call dropped when we were in the middle. We were speaking about Jenny. Is her name Jenny Good?
Yes.
I apologize, guys. Jenny Good. So you were explaining that she's a life coach and also what we. The last question I was asking you was, what do you all do in terms of the family?
Yeah. So Jenny Good, who is also our life coach, in addition to her working with me, she's also been coaching women for some time, personal development. So we've created a family coaching session for family members of people that are in federal prison, whether it be husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, children. And it goes with how to cope with anxiety, how to cope with fear, how you're dealing with the unknown, basically letting them know that they're not alone, and trying to get them not to focus on things that are outside of their control.
Wow. When I say that you guys have thought of everything, Dan, when I say that you guys have thought of everything, you guys have thought of everything.
Well, you know, it's kind of a work in progress. It's by far a perfect machine, but mm-hmm. Everybody that works here has passion about what we're doing.
Absolutely.
It's not that I don't think, I know for a fact that nobody's here for the paycheck, just because people are barely making any money at all working here. So they're all doing it out of passion, and we're trying to see what we can do to help make a difference. And every day we find out something new that can help somebody else. And usually when you find something that helps one person, many people need that same advice. So we just find a way to work it into our system. And sometimes it gets a little rough and chaotic, but at the end of the day, I think everybody's satisfied with the direction it's going.
Yeah, I the one thing that I can appreciate, everyone, about Dan is, he offers for those, and I'll let him discuss pricing if he'd like to. If you want to hire him, he offers, you have that option, but he'll give you that same information, you understand, on his YouTube channel. So, I mean, I can definitely see, that this is something that you're passionate about. This isn't something, like you said, that you're trying to, capitalize on. But, I will admit, the work, the help is needed. I mean, it really, really is. I don't know that you know much about me, but I got into the advocacy work. I was actually in school for criminal justice. I wanted to be an attorney, and my criminal justice professor, he was a former police officer, and this guy, Troy Davis, was about to be executed, and this was the gentleman that allegedly shot a police officer. There was no DNA, nothing that tied him to the crime and stuff. And, one of our assignments was to bring up, a current event. So I was getting ready to, bring him up, had my, computer, hand up and stuff. And he actually brought him up first. And he's like, oh, he said, what do we have here? We've got Troy Davis. And he's scheduled to, looked at his clock, and, he looked at his watch. He's scheduled to die tonight. And the likes of Jimmy Carter, they're appealing for this guy, and he called him a scumbag. And I just looked around the room, you understand, because I was one of the oldest, students there and whatnot. And I just looked around the room, and the kids were, it's like they didn't have their own mind. This was a police officer, this was a professor, so we're going to go with what he thinks. You understand? And it bothered me so much that I kind of withdrew, from the class and stuff. I sent him a lengthy email, and I told him how I felt and whatnot. And, not that I wear my heart on my sleeve or anything like that, But, you know, a person was about to die. You understand what I'm saying? And there wasn't enough, you know, my thing was don't let him out or anything like that. But, you know, you could at least have given him life without parole or something like that until you could have something concrete to tie him to. You know, too many people have been exonerated. So that's how I initially got started. But, you know, most recently, like I said, I lost my only son to murder about 28 months ago. And, you know, 8 months after that, my brother was murdered the day I went to forgive the person that killed my child. So I wanted to get started myself, you know, to go back into the prison. And I have an extensive vetting. You know what I mean? I don't let anybody just come and hide under Sarah, you know, because I am, through the grace and mercy of God, good at what I do. But, you know, I'm interested in only those that, you know, are taking advantage, as you did, you know, while they're in there. You know, they've got a great support system. So, yeah, so that's why I got started. So I'm just telling you a little bit about myself in your interview. How about that, Dan?
That's great. It all starts somewhere. You know, everybody, it doesn't work without passion.
So absolutely.
You're passionate about what you do, and that's why it will work.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, listen, is there anything else that you would like to add? I really appreciate if you could just leave your information on here, and if I could. Do you only work with federal, or are you doing stuff with state?
No, we help with state as well. Obviously, state can be a little tougher at times just because different states can have so many different rules or what protocols that need to happen. To where federal is a little more streamlined, and I would say 90% of the people that find us are people going to federal, but we have I would say probably 5 to 10% of our clients are state clients that still, like, when you go in front of a judge, you're going in front of a judge. So personal narratives, character reference letters, things like that, we do a lot of work with that on state clients. Obviously, state doesn't offer the residential drug addiction program. Some states have their own version of that that has different requirements versus what vets do. So we do research when somebody calls us for a particular state or a particular spot, and we can do research to find out what services we may be able to offer them.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because when someone calls me from the feds, I'm just like, oh my God, because I think the fed, you know, I think the feds are harder than state. I think state is like a piece of cake. So that's,
yeah, probably the actual sentence portion of it is you probably serve less time in state in a lot of places because of parole. But as far as rules and regulations, once you learn once for the feds, you kind of know every prison goes off the same set of systems. Where state, you know, you have to relearn things for each state that applies to that specific state.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, that makes sense. So. Okay. All right. So, Dan, could you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Sure. You can find me a couple of ways. We have a website, which is rdapdan.com, RDAP Dan. We also have a YouTube channel, which is just rdapdan. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, pretty much anywhere where social media exists, and it's all under RDAP Dan. So pretty much anything at RDAP Dan will find us, and, you know, come check us out. It doesn't cost anything to watch our videos. We give away a lot of free content on the videos. Only sometimes do people need to go above and beyond the information on the video to where they need to hire us.
Wow, Dan, that is amazing. You friggin' give me cold chills. I mean, seriously. No, I'm actually going to log off, guys, so I can ask Dan some questions because I would love, you know, I would love to be educated a little bit more myself. You understand, I will definitely funnel, you know, the people that come to me to you and whatnot, because, you know, you seem to have a handle and a grasp on, you know, this federal system and stuff. So I appreciate your time, and I think, what is it, CJ that reached out to me?
Yes. CJ was the person that originally reached out to you. He's part of the team. I probably should, you know, just say.
Yeah, let me say hi.
Everybody's wondering. I'm just the person. I'm just the face you see on YouTube. But behind the scenes, we have CJ, who does all of the updates. He works on our CRM. He makes sure that clients don't go unforgotten or get slipped under the mat. They're not reached out to, whether they're in prison or reaching out to their point of contacts, family members. So he really handles a lot of the internal type of issues that happens on the day to day that no one ever sees. Jenny deals with all of the letters, the coaching. She does a lot of our blogging on our website. Angela Blythe is our unofficial legal department. She was an attorney, went to federal prison, got out of federal prison, has a passion for helping people, works for her son's law firm. So she does a lot of assisting with motions, doing case research to make sure people are getting the best possible help. And then we have our last team member is Diane, who does all of our substance abuse evaluation. So when clients do not have the information in their PSR for whatever reason, she will do an evaluation with them to determine whether or not they have substance abuse issues in order to help them qualify for programs once they're in the prison system. So those are the people that kind of make the gears turn.
Wow.
Without them, it would be a mess. It would just be chaos.
I am so impressed. And you know what? It's hard to impress me, seriously, but I'm really impressed. That is awesome. Please tell CJ that I said thank you so much, for reaching out and whatnot, because I've definitely been blessed by the couple that I have seen, and I will take more, time, because I'm in this. This is what I do. You understand, since I walked into prison like 8-9 years, I've never served any time in prison or anything like that. But, I don't think, I don't believe anything just happens by happenstance. You understand what I'm saying? Unless you walk into the shoes, of some of these men and women that are in prison, you understand what I'm saying? You don't really understand their plight. So, I thank you, what I'm saying, for the interview. I thank you for your time. And I thank you for what you're doing. I know that it's going to, make an impact in people's lives. And this is what people don't understand, until we all try to get involved. You understand? I mean, continue to shun people the way that they do and not trying to give them, educate them, not trying to give them jobs, not trying to give them places to stay. They're going to continue to wreak havoc in the communities unless someone steps up and shows them, and of course we're not going to handhold, but unless someone stands up and shows them a more excellent way, then, violence is going to keep on, ripping parents and parents, families apart. So I thank you for doing your part in this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you for having me on your podcast.
All right. Thank you so much. You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.